October 17th, 2017. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hessenflow.
We're just a couple of guys sitting around talking about things that are important to us. Hopefully they're important to you. And if you need more information, there's so many great ways to find more information. This week, things are getting spooky around here.
Well, you know what? We're finally starting to get some fall weather.
Uh-huh.
We've got some rain coming down.
The cloudy days are upon us.
It's getting darker sooner.
And every weekend, more people bring out their decorations, and we're getting ready for Halloween.
We are. You can tell the holiday seasons are going to start popping real soon. It's you go from Halloween to Thanksgiving to Christmas season.
Yeah, it's quick.
Oh, it's like bam, bam, bam.
That's right. It's fun, though. I like the anticipation of the season. I like going into a new season and seeing what happens. Second quarter of the school year started yesterday.
Yeah, a lot of college students also are on their fall break.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a lot going on around here.
There's a lot going on. It's fun times around here.
Film at 11.
Brings us to our film at 11, our movie of the week. You got a chance to see the greatest film ever. At least that's what you said at our live show last week. You said that this was going to be like the best film you've ever imagined.
Steve, I couldn't imagine a better topic for a film. I just can't.
Good. This is Professor Marston and the Wonder Woman. We talked about it last week. This is the guy who created the comic book Wonder Woman and the polygraph machine. And
had a couple wives, Steve.
Had a couple of wives at home.
In real life, he may have actually brought more women into the household. But for this movie, it only explores the man and two women, Steve. Only the man and two women.
Polyamorous relationships are a thing.
This movie is incredibly well cast. We've got this steel-jawed Superman, sort of Captain Marvel, Shazam-type character, playing Dr. Marston.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have his wife, who is this brash modern woman for mm-hmm. that time. I mean, truly a modern woman for today who curses and uses vulgarities and is a very strong, and she's actually the brains in many ways behind it. Not that he's not smart, but she is the driver. And in fact, one of the things that she continuously talks about is that she wants her PhD to come from Harvard. Harvard is saying they're not going to give her a PhD, that she can get it from this other university. And mm-hmm. she said, well, I did all my work. I am as smart as you are. I want it from Harvard. So we get some of that going on.
Okay.
And we ultimately find out in this movie why Dr. Marston is fired. Steve, I don't know if you know this, but professors and students are not supposed to date each other.
Yes, I am aware of this.
While they're taking the same course.
Right.
Now, after the course is over... I guess it could be fair game,
right,
as long as you don't have any type of position over the student.
Right.
But no. why not just have her out in the studio? This is an all-women's school, and Dr. Marston's going to introduce to his class the DISC theory on relationships, about how people like to be happy and they like to have constraints to... placed against them physically and mentally, and that becomes their happiness. It's mentioned over and over and over. This will come play later on when Dr. Marston is fired from his position and they create the Wonder Woman character, which is ultimately propaganda for the DISC theory. His first wife, who is this brash woman, ultimately takes a job as a secretary in this movie. So really a step down from her skill level. But you have to recognize the time,
mm-hmm.
those times. That would not happen today. In fact, that was one of the things ultimately you're going to have to come to terms with, is whether today this would have been a man and two women and not just two women. Because, and this doesn't mean this was true in real life. This is the movie
mm-hmm.
I'm talking about. Because Olive, who is the second wife who comes in, she is initially attracted to Marston's first wife. And anyway, that's the initial pop to this. This is sort of like running through a Renaissance festival where you don't know whether you should be, you're titillated, or if you are absolutely just looking at something that you should be appalled by. And I don't mean that this is an ugly film in any way. This certainly is. There's nothing ugly about it.
Okay.
But they are definitely players in the bedroom, kind of like the old Saturday Night Live skit where Will Ferrell and, is it Rachel Dench, were in the hot tub.
Oh, yeah.
And they are overly loving.
Uh-huh.
And whoever they're with is just mortified because it's just so over the top.
So uncomfortable.
So everyone eventually finds out about their threesome and their arrangement. Well, anyway, it creates all sorts of challenges. Ultimately, he has children with both of them. Eventually, he ends up passing away, and the two women live together for another 38 years.
Wow.
In fact, they just passed away in the 90s. One of them did. The other thing that I got from this is the beginning of it all starts off with Marston being interrogated. And this is, we read the 10 Cent Plague earlier this year, which talked about the witch hunt on comic books, mm-hmm. about the deviancy it brought. Now, certainly Wonder Woman, at least the early Wonder Woman, fit right into this. There was lots of bondage going on, lots of tied up women, lots of interesting positions they would put themselves into.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very, like I said, a lot of fetish going on there. So anyway, what can I say? I really like this film. Okay. This is a film that's for grown-ups.
Okay.
It's an adult film.
This is not a children's film about the creation of Wonder Woman.
Certainly not.
Okay.
And I enjoyed it. I think that this will have legs. This is certainly a far better film than 50 Shades of Grey. That explores a similar subject, but from a totally different, where 50 Shades of Grey comes across as fanfic and kind of perversion.
Mm-hmm.
This one comes across as much more organic and natural. It certainly may not be your lifestyle taste. You can see how far we have arrived from when this... from when the times that they lived and they lived this lifestyle, it certainly was not accepted by their neighbors. But we're also dealing with their times. Everybody was just trying to, when I say normalize, think of the nuclear family, mom, dad, place in the suburbs, a little yard, picket fence.
Mm-hmm. Leave it to Beaver.
Lime Jello crazy, yeah. Molds. We were trying so hard just to move from either extreme poverty or from the farm or something to, what we consider today's society.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed this.
So you do suggest this one?
On the scale of 1 to 100, I would say this is 70.
Okay. That's pretty good on your scale.
Greatest film of all time, Oscar winning. I will just go ahead and give them to him now. It sounds like the director, by the way, explores this in a lot of her films. So if you have interest in this subject, which is probably her most accessible movie for the everyday person, this is, like I said, it's always kind of interesting to pop into the alternative lifestyle, Steve.
I'm sure it is. I'll have to take your word for that.
When you watch it, you go, I could accept that or I couldn't. It would definitely make for an interesting neighbor.
Oh, absolutely. There's lots of interesting people. Some of them are invisible. You got to see The Invisible Man from 1933.
Yes, Turner Classic Movies. This whole month has monster movies on.
Yes.
So if you've got the ability to go to On Demand, you can pull these up on demand. So I watched The Invisible Man. What can I say about it? It was
classic.
Definitely from its time.
Yes.
So I think last year we reviewed Frankenstein from 31, and I want to say Dracula was also from 31.
Mm-hmm. Those are both 1931.
This is 33.
Right.
They're looking for other things. This is a story that was based on H.G. Wells' book. It was a gentleman through an accident became invisible.
Mm-hmm.
He was trying to basically return himself to normalcy. Was running out of money, stealing, and eventually he was going to get kicked out of this home he was staying in, this hotel room. And he went mad.
He went a little bit crazy. That's where the monster part of this comes in, at least a little bit. This is not a monster movie, but it's in with the list of those kinds of stories because he's kind of a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde character.
Now, if you have young children, I think these types of movies are perfect to kind of watch. Mm-hmm. They're black and white. Yeah, just the black and white years. For teenagers, I don't know if they'll really kind of settle down enough to accept
the pace.
There's
a pace to a 1930s movie that is very different from a 2017 film.
And then you also recognize that, you know, our grandparents are great grandparents.
Yeah.
At this point, this was their movies. These were the things they grew up on. These were the shocking things for their
terrifying
lifestyle.
Right.
So while you had Marston living with his two women, yeah, we got these crazy films, which seem so tame today.
Right.
So anyway, I enjoyed watching this. And if, like I said, if you have access to Turner Classic Movies, you can go on and there's a whole list of them. You could watch Frankenstein or Dracula or anything you want.
Yeah, those are historic documents at this point. The technology of this movie in 1933, making this invisible person with practical effects, is very interesting as a history document.
And the trailer gives away the entire movie. I mean, it gives away the entire movie.
I wonder if people would know this story because it was an H.G. Wells book before the movie came out in 1933.
I don't know, but it just seems like they laid it right out there. And I don't know if that's the original trailer that we have.
Which is why I don't watch trailers.
Well, my
especially first the movies like Star Wars that came out this week. I did not watch that trailer.
Let me tell you
exactly
what happened.
That Steve. Reason.
I'm going to tell you what happened.
I did get a chance to watch Baby Driver a second time. This is such a good movie.
All right, so we reviewed this earlier this year.
Yeah, this is 2017. It came out on DVD this week, and my wife was so excited that this movie was actually out on DVD, she went directly to the video store. Yes, we have a video store in town, and she got a copy of Baby Driver. This is such a good movie.
Which is fascinating, Steve, because you have the ability to rent a movie mm-hmm. through Amazon.
I could have rented it for $6 on Amazon.
$6?
It was $6. Or
is it really?
Going three blocks over to the video store, I got it for $3.50 and supported local business.
Is it really $6?
It is really $6 right now on the first week. Yes, sir.
Oh, my God.
I could have gone to the Redbox for $1.50, but unfortunately, our Redbox is so far away that we would have spent $2 on gas to get to the Redbox.
Right.
This movie is a triumph. I enjoy this movie even more the second time. Sometimes when you watch a movie the second time, it loses something because the suspense is not there. You already know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing what was going to happen in this movie, I was able to concentrate on the choreography and the cinematography of this film.
Well, the way the music kind of plays with all the scenes.
Oh.
They do, and man, that scene, the one at the beginning where they're the red cars.
Yeah, that first chase scene.
Oh my goodness, what a wonderful scene.
Yeah, those of you who have not seen Baby Driver, this is one of my recommendations of 2017. This is one of my favorite things that we've seen in cinema in 2017.
Even if you have Kevin Spacey being his typical self, man.
He's very Kevin Spacey in this, and he does such a great job, of course. Edgar Wright, the director, is one of my favorite directors working right now.
In fact, we're always looking for Edgar Wright. In fact, that'll be something we'll have to come back to. Directors that, when you see that their work comes out, you go, oh yeah, I should probably see that.
Edgar Wright is one of them. Yeah, this
absolutely.
Is definitely one of those. Go and watch this movie as soon as you possibly can. So there's some movies opening this week that maybe you should go and watch as soon as you possibly can. The first one is called Killing Gunther.
Gunther?
Uh-huh.
Is that Killing Gunther, Steve?
Played by an Austrian guy.
Arnold Schwarzenegger. We should all have strudel and go see Arnold's movie.
This looks like a really silly, campy Arnold Schwarzenegger is there. Maybe he was there for 3 days of filming. I don't know exactly
what
this is.
This is a funny, funny looking movie.
I don't know, man.
This looks great. It looks like a lot of fun. Arnold Schwarzenegger is playing the best Arnold Schwarzenegger character.
Right. Written and directed by Taron Killam, who is, like a fourth-tier player on Saturday Night Live right now. But he wrote and directed this film. It's got all of his friends in it and Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Well, it looks like a lot of fun. Arnold's this strong man who is the killer. He's playing his he's playing a caricature of himself yes. of himself.
I think that's pretty much where he's at in his career.
But this is the perfect place for him to have some fun. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you've got a story going on around him.
Yeah. There is a movie called Tragedy Girls.
Now, this looks like it's going to be, when I say fun, this is for the, your the teenagers?
Yes. This is the teenager Halloween movie of the week, I
little
think.
Little slasher film.
Very much like Scream, a very comedic slasher film.
And then we throw on a little bit of Heathers, right?
A little bit of Mean Girls and Heathers in there, where you've got this situation in high school where these girls are not the popular girls, and some, they want to become the popular girls, and so what do? They kill a guy.
And they take over his social media, Steve.
That's right.
All right. So what this, you know, where Invisible Man, certainly for a teenager to relate to it, they really have to kind of put themselves out there, like, the oh, history. Dad, I'll watch this with you.
Right.
Or they have real extreme interest in cinematography or something. Mm-hmm. This right here is for the everyday Joe, who does not mind a farcical,
yeah.
kind of a bloody film.
Very much like Scream. It reminds me so much of Scream, that farcical semi-comedy, semi-horror.
Nightmare on Elm Street, little bit of stuff like that, where there's comedy involved.
Right.
All right, so, but it also has sort of this, like this Heathers part. This you said Mean Girls, we talked about Heathers.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. It's got all that right in there. This looks like it may be something your kids ask you to take them to.
If they're 15-year-olds and if they have interest in that part of our society.
They'll Instagram it, Steve. Yes, let's do some selfies
will.
There.
Oh, they will Snapchat it. Boy, with the Snapchat. I've gotten so old. The other movie is called Geostorm. This is the action-adventure movie of the week.
All right, so this one, it seems like it could be pretty good.
It certainly has potential.
This looks like a lot of fun.
The producers of Independence Day. So if you like those action sci-fi sorts of just silly popcorn movies, this seems like that movie for the week.
All right. So it looks like we have satellites who are able to control weather.
Yes. This is a future where we can control the weather because the weather has been destructive, at least the last couple of months.
And think about what that would do to a place like Egypt,
mm-hmm.
you know, where it's, you know, Northern Africa, where they rain is a challenge, and their soil is, let's just say, challenged because of that.
Uh-huh. If we had the technology to bring water to that area.
Or Arizona, or New Mexico, or whatever you want to talk about.
Uh-huh.
Or California, that would be a good one right there.
Yeah.
All right, so anyway, now it turns to be the bad guy.
Yeah, something awful happens, and somebody is controlling the weather and making the weather bad for people instead.
All right, so we need to let's put a bookmark right here,
uh-huh.
because we'll talk a little bit about some fun stuff about what man can do in the future. Anyway, let's talk about the next movie, Jungle, Steve.
Jungle. This is Daniel Radcliffe running around the jungle trying to survive. Daniel Radcliffe is one of the actors of the 21st century that is really somebody to watch.
All right, so I like Daniel Radcliffe a lot. Mm-hmm. And his stuff, his picking of odd things is just wonderful. But I tell you what, while I was watching the trailer of this, he is such a small human being. You know, Steve and I are like...
We are huge.
We're like 10 feet tall.
In fact,
our wives say that we're bigger than life. I don't know why they say that.
There's some monster movie that could be made from this show, that's for sure.
The Gollum. The two Gollums. Anyway, yes. But anyway, this seems like this is right up... The fear of this. Hey, let's go out in the woods. Hey, let's go this. And all of a sudden, something happens.
Something happens, and they are trapped. They cannot find their way out. They have to survive. It reminds me so much of Daniel Radcliffe's last film, The Swiss Army Man,
yes.
and where I think just Daniel Radcliffe likes being muddy.
I want to go camping. Okay, let's make a movie.
Yeah, right. Right. The other one is called Wonderstruck. This is a family kind of story. Two generations... There's a black and white piece, and there's a color piece, and then there's these two stories that are intertwined, and this looks like a child adventure kind of story.
You said the word big fish, kind
yes.
of like this. So there may be something of that. This is definitely a very interesting looking film.
Mm-hmm.
I will eventually end up watching this. There's something there based on the best-selling book, Steve.
Well, there you go. It must be okay then. There is a movie, a documentary called Delt that is coming out this week. This might be our pick of the week. It centers on the life of 62-year-old Richard Turner, who is one of the world's greatest card mechanics.
Yeah, he does not call himself a magician.
That's right.
In fact, when I saw him on Fool Us,
where Penn and Teller show,
where you could win the big FU if you trophy, if you fool him, he got that trophy
instantly.
And he basically, what he can do with his hands and those cards is unbelievable. And knowing he's blind.
Right. He is a blind card mechanic. He can see the cards with his fingers is what he says. This is stunning.
I look forward to seeing this. Mm-hmm. I may not see it in the theater, but this is definitely one that I'll end up catching.
He's definitely an entertaining guy. Wait, I do have the link to the Penn and Teller Fool Us when Richard Turner was on, and boy did he fool Penn and Teller. They didn't even have anything to discuss. They just threw their hands in the air and said, I don't know how he did that.
That is such a great show too. If you need a family show where one, you like magic, they've got so many talented people who come on there, and the idea of Penn and Teller, probably the best couple performers who really love show business, and they certainly are not making it over the top, but they recognize that, oh, I've got all these friends and people who are out there who've got these great skills.
It's the best talent show on TV, I think.
Just come out there and we'll enjoy watching you perform. At the end, if you fool us, and there are many, many things that Teller, particularly, is an expert on the history of magic. I'm sure Penn is deeply involved there too. But really, they're saying, oh, I know how to do this, or I don't know how to do this, or wow, this is an old trick that you put a new twist on.
Yeah. And, so entertaining. Oh. I love that program. Book it. Brings us to our book it, our book of the week. You have been reading Wicked, The Life and Times of the Wicked Witch of the West. This is the book that is the basis for the Broadway musical Wicked. Came out in 2009, and you love the Broadway musical Wicked, right?
Everyone loves the Broadway musical Wicked. In fact, I would say that if you were a person who said, oh, I've never been to Broadway, or I don't like Broadway, or it's traveling to your area and you've never been to a spectacle like this.
Oh, it is a spectacle. That is a great word for this musical.
This is probably the best entry level musical you could go to. And I'm not saying it's entry level. It's just when you get there and you see it, you go, oh, I get it.
Yes.
Okay, I get it. This truly is a story that you can follow along through the musical, and it's got incredibly strong songs. There's a lot of humor involved in there, and it's made the career of a lot of people. In fact, it's the basis, because of the success of Wicked, Pixar's Frozen got rewritten. So that there were two princesses in it.
Right.
So they always go, well, you know, Frozen's set up a new standard. No, Wicked did that.
Wicked set that bar.
All right. So now let's get to the book. Because, Steve, I've tried to read this book 4 or 5 times. It's a big, fat book. This book is rated really highly.
And people love this book.
People love the book. Because they love the book so much, they wrote a musical on it.
Right.
About this.
Right.
So here I am. I've tried reading this 4 to 5 times. I said, daggone it, it's a Halloween, it's coming up. I should probably get through this book based on The Wicked Witch of the West. And since the book Wizard of Oz is now in public domain, if you're a person you want to write based on these characters, you can. This gentleman sat down and he wrote a book that was loved by many, was the basis of a musical. And I sat there and said, oh my God, get me through this book. This book seems to last forever. It's like one layer of gingerbread among another. It just seems so over the top. I'm sitting here reading it, and I'm just praying for this thing to end.
Wow.
Sooner and sooner and sooner. You know when I got in this book? About halfway through it, I finally go, oh, okay, we're finally at some stuff I can kind of get through. It doesn't matter. This is like Star Wars The Phantom Menace.
It is very much the prequel to The Wizard of Oz.
Absolutely. And like I said, I love the musical.
Uh-huh.
And they were masters to be able to take this amount of information
and distill it down into a really concise story in the musical.
The Trade Federation, Steve.
Between the Munchkins and the
this is how democracy this is how democracy fails, Steve.
I hate sand.
Oh my goodness. Anyway, I'm sitting here reading it, and it just is not appealing to me. I get the characters. Thank God I had the musical that I could use as somewhat of a skeleton for it.
Right.
But the musical is a different story. There are echoes of this, would be a good way of saying it, but it certainly is a different story. Eventually, we get Dorothy, who arrives. Finally, God bless. I can kind of get into it. Uh-huh. She's very liked. She landed on Elphaba, which is the Wicked Witch of the West's sister.
Mm-hmm.
The story ultimately deals with animals who have human characteristics. Dr. Dilliman, who is a character in the musical, as a he's a goat, and a brilliant scientist. They're losing their rights, and Oz is the reason for that, and that's the reason why the Wicked Witch of the West is opposed to the Wizard of Oz.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, the Wizard of Oz finds out about that, and that's why he sends Dorothy to kill her. But anyway, this book could not end soon enough. I did finish it. I actually got through the final part. There's a musical that we can always come back to.
Yeah.
I will listen to the musical. The musical is one you can listen to over and over and over and over again. This book, for all the people who enjoy it, thank you for enjoying it. There are other books in this series that he wrote because so many people loved it. This did not touch my heart, Steve. This is a book that I was glad to finish.
There's a lot of fat that you could have taken out of the story, and you would have enjoyed it more, maybe.
An editor would have been really, really good.
Okay.
It just seemed to just be so much.
Yeah.
Purposeless. You're just going through stuff.
Yeah.
I'm reading Alan Moore's Jerusalem now, and we were going to review it, I think, in May.
Yeah.
And then we were going to review it in June. And I think you just have to get in the right mind to get through it. And, oh my goodness, if you're not in the right mind
I
knew we were going to review this book for this week. And so I said, I've got to finish it. But I am, I'll just say that I do not plan on picking this book up ever again.
Or any of the sequels.
Oh, no.
All right. But our audience might have a different opinion. If you have a different opinion, you could send us an email. What do you think about this book? Find it on our Amazon store, amazon.toomuchscrolling.com.
God bless this writer. I mean, like he said, he found a base. But man, it was just too much for me.
That's it. That's Wicked, The Life and Times of the Wicked Witch of the West by Gregory Maguire. Maybe everyone else loves it.
Scroll with it.
Brings us to our scroll with it. We have some news, some things that are happening, some exciting stories that I'll wait to tell you the exciting part. Let's get to the science first. There is some science happening. We see that the carbon dioxide in the atmosphere might be a big problem for us going forward.
Well, it is the byproduct of using fossil fuels.
Right.
And because of that, we talk about greenhouse effects, we talk about climate change, and all those other fun things that we're dealing with. There is... maybe we have the ability to control weather or not. That's kind of the echo from Geostorm that we talked a little earlier.
We should watch that movie.
Oh, that movie. But anyway, this is dealing strictly with the carbon dioxide that is the byproduct of fossil fuels. And now, what we have is trees. We mm-hmm. talked about planting trees and having them zap up because they feed on plants.
Carbon dioxide.
Correct. But we've created technology, Steve.
Yeah.
That can suck up of carbon dioxide and make it into stone, baby.
Isn't that a crazy idea? Some crazy scientist somewhere in a lab with wild hair.
He's obviously wearing a lab coat, black pants.
And smiling maniacally.
Exactly. Probably green. He's probably just green. He's like, oh.
And somebody figured this out. They are sucking carbon dioxide out of the air and solidifying it into stone.
All right, so Thomas Malthus was an economist who said, oh, overpopulation is going to take over the world.
Right.
There's talks about starvation places, and you know, there's always these doomsday predictors.
Mm-hmm.
This is a great example of how humans attack problems.
We find a way.
So we went from an era where we had horse poop everywhere, mm-hmm. because horse and buggy would come through town. And guess what? We created engines,
mm-hmm.
and those engines came in, and they created pollution,
right?
Which we had. We think of all the smog of L.A. maybe during the '70s.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we come up with unleaded fuel. So you know we're moving to technologies right now. We talk about batteries. We talk about using solar and wind and all this other stuff. We still may have to use fossil fuels too,
mm-hmm.
but the point being is that human ingenuity will dream up solutions to some of those issues.
And this is an amazing dream solution that who would have ever thought? Some mad scientist in a lab somewhere. That's who thought of it.
There you go.
Movies Anywhere is the new name for the Disney system that was called Disney Movies Anywhere. And Disney has teamed up with 20th Century Fox, Sony, and Warner Brothers. So now my collection of movies that were all scattered across all the iTunes and Amazon Prime and Vudu and Ultraviolet are now in one convenient location, and I can get to them from all of those systems.
All right, so in the past, you would buy a DVD or a Blu-ray or something like that, and you had the ability to get a digital copy. It had a code in it.
Right.
You would go to log into Ultraviolet, and then it would upload to iTunes or whatever. If you bought it through iTunes,
mm-hmm.
that would be a good example. It only remained in iTunes.
Correct. So if you were locked into iTunes, if you had an Apple phone, an Apple TV, and an Apple computer, that's fine. Being in one location is fine. But those of us who have moved across to Android or other systems.
Well, other platforms. All right, so what we end up now having is basically what Ultraviolet had initially set up to do is you have a housing place for all those digital movies,
mm-hmm.
and then it will go through iTunes. It will go through YouTube, so you could watch it through YouTube. It'll go through Vudu, which is Walmart's version of that. Mm-hmm. You may have that on a Blu-ray, or you may download it as an app. But anyway, you have all these services, so all that digital content can be accessed through any of those services,
right,
for no additional cost.
Yep.
In addition to that, it takes about 2 minutes. You basically go and log in. You click on the areas that you want it to show up. So for me, it was, you know, iTunes and YouTube. I didn't pick Vudu.
How about Amazon?
Amazon.
Okay.
So anyway, I have it. It's just available.
It's available on all those systems.
I can log in to YouTube. I can log into iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
I can log into the Amazon system. Anyway, it's all available to you. To me. So
this is a revolution in a lot of ways, because a lot of people got locked into buying movies on one specific system because that's the system that they were locked into. If you wanted to shop around between Amazon and iTunes.
How am I the only person who said, oh, I don't want to buy it through that. I want to buy it through this.
Well, you went to the store and picked up the digital copy that way.
I have digital copies, though, too.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I always thought about how I want to own my stuff so I can get through other stuff. Anyway, it's simple. It's going to make your stuff available through all platforms. Just go to our notes and you can click on it. You probably already received an email. I received an email from Disney. I received one from iTunes. I received one from Amazon.
There you go. Sign up. This is a great way to get all of that material that you've paid for, no matter where you're at. Movies Anywhere. Great idea. Let's get some more studios on board so I can get the rest of my movies together in one place. Simpsons. Remember the Simpsons from 30 years ago?
They're still on.
It's still on TV.
The Treehouse of Horror is probably their best known special.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it comes on Sunday.
This is the week. This is the week that we get the
October 22nd.
Treehouse of Horror number 28, the 28th annual Halloween special on The Simpsons.
This is where the staff, and they actually bring outside writers at times too,
mm-hmm.
really kind of let their creativity kind of go.
Mm-hmm.
Neil Gaiman's going to be one of the voices of this. We don't know who he's going to be, but looks like he's going to be a cat.
A certain black cat that might be a feature of The Simpsons, maybe.
You never know, Steve. You never know.
Intriguing. I love The Simpsons. I still watch The Simpsons. It's not nearly as fun as it was 20 years ago, but the Treehouse of Horror is still a thing. The short story format of it changes the storytelling. It's very much a Twilight Zone kind of
exactly
way of communicating instead of the long sitcom format.
What was the Treehouse of Horror where the house said basically decided not to exist rather than living with the system.
The smart home that just dissolved itself because it didn't want to live with the Simpsons anymore. That's pretty much where I'm headed with my smart home, I think. It's good stuff. All right, here we go. Now I can tell you the secret at the end of the book is Weird Al Yankovic is touring this spring, Chip.
Well, there you go, Steve. You'll have something to do during spring break.
I have been to Weird Al concerts more than any other group performing music anywhere. My wife has seen Weird Al in concert 5 times. I've probably been...
Is that because she's married to you, Steve?
Probably. Yeah, that is probably the thing that has kept her going. But seriously...
Steve, I have not seen any Weird Al concert.
You've never been to a single Weird Al concert? Well, this is your opportunity, Chip.
Oh, okay.
He is touring all across the country in spring. I might get a VW bus and go and follow him during spring break.
Steve's going to be standing outside. I need a miracle, man. I need a miracle.
The thing is about this tour, he has no expectations for selling tickets to this tour because it's an all original song tour. He's not doing any of his famous hits, his parody songs. He's showing us his real music. I love Weird Al's musicality.
All right, so this looks like a lot of fun.
Yes.
It starts in the spring. He's going to have a good time doing it.
Oh, yeah.
The longer... Well, Weird Al's been around for such a long time.
Mm-hmm.
He's certainly a very lovable type of guy.
He's such a character. He's been on so many different programs. He's been on The Simpsons.
Well,
who hasn't?
Yeah, but what I'm trying to say is that he's not just a parody guy.
That's right.
He is involved in many... very creative projects.
Yes.
He's got a wonderful network of friends that you would not know.
Right.
I mean, if you saw him show up, like Kenny G's on one arm and Michael Bolton's on the other, and I don't know, the President of the United States on the other, you go, oh, yeah, he knows them all.
He knows them all.
Anyway,
gets along with almost everybody except for Eminem.
I absolutely enjoy anytime I see him actually talk about subjects he's passionate about. So I know that a lot of people are going to have a good time going to this.
One person that will.
If you want it to find out where he's playing, you can go to our show notes. Just click through and you can see his entire show.
Yeah, he's coming to Chicago April 6th and 7th. So I might make a trip to Chicago to see him. He's also going to be in Milwaukee. We've talked about in the past how
Milwaukee.
We're not going to get into MST3K right now, but...
That was from Wayne's World.
Oh. Okay. There is an MST3K episode that does the same...
The Milwaukee?
Yeah.
Well, that was where Alice Cooper was explaining how Milwaukee got got its name to Wayne and Garth.
Okay. So maybe that was an MST3K reference to Wayne's World in the when they were doing that. Okay. As we've discussed in the past, going up to Milwaukee is pretty easy from our area, and it might be easier than getting into the city of Chicago from the suburbs.
It can be at times, depending upon where you are, and sometimes the tickets are more affordable?
Economical, yeah.
Sure.
It might be the way to go. So,
but he's playing at the Vic downtown.
I
Vic's
love
a good
Vic.
Place.
That's a great room. It's a fun room. All right. So I think we have enough information to survive another week. What do you think, Chip?
Only if we can come back next week.
Ooh. it's getting closer, isn't it? We're getting ready. We're getting set. If you have any feedback that you want to give us, please make sure to tell us all about what you think about what we've said this week. Give us a call or a text. Our phone number is 805-4104-TMS. Our website is TooMuchScrolling.com. You can send us an email, TooMuchScrolling@gmail.com. We're on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. We're on iTunes and Stitcher and TuneIn Radio and every day of the week. You can see all the news that you need on our news site, news.TooMuchScrolling.com. I want to thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hessenflug.
We'll see you in the future.